Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message. That's why it's so important to know what the Scriptures teach us and know how and why we do what we do. Amen. We're not just, as Paul said, this is not a work of just men to get people to do something because it was a good idea. This is what God requires. Amen. And until we realize and embrace that truth, people will continue to struggle with the authority of the Word of God. As long as people say stuff like, well, white men wrote the Bible, and there's books in the Bible that are not in the Bible, and all the foolish things you hear about the Scriptures, until you embrace the fact that God's Word is God's Word, you're always going to be in confusion. And unfortunately, that includes the church, because there's many in the church that just will not embrace the truth of the Word. And without that, there's no other truth. Amen? So we talked about you have to be born again. And then the second thing we talked about was that you had to recognize the immediacy of the work of the cross, which means that we're new creations immediately. But then we also walk out the process of becoming a new creation in our spirit, soul, and our body. Your spirit is renewed right away, but your mind and your body are progressively renewed day by day. Amen? So we embrace the truth of being new creations. That's how we become free from the old entanglements of life. See, if you think about it, there's no matter how much drug rehab or alcoholic rehab or cigarette smoke rehab you do, there is something in you that says that you can't take another drink because you are still an alcoholic. But if you embrace the fact that God has made you a new creation, then you can be set free from those things, and they won't even tempt you anymore. See, I've never had the desire to drink, so when I go into a bar, I'm not tempted to get a drink. I don't have a desire. I never liked the taste. I tasted alcohol, never liked the taste, couldn't figure out why anybody liked the taste of the stuff. And then I realized that's why they mix it with all that other stuff, because they don't like the taste either. But I'm not tempted with that, because that's not something I've come out of. But when God can deliver you, set you free to such an extent that you're no longer bound by those things, then you know that you are free. Amen? And only God can set you free like that. And so the other thing we talked about was being disciplined by the Bible. We have to want to follow the Scriptures. We have to want the Scriptures to renew our minds. We have to recognize and accept the fact that our mind, our ideas are wrong. The things we think are wrong because they disagree with the Scriptures. And as long as we think we have a voice and an opinion on the things of the Bible, we're going to struggle in the area of submitting to the will of God. A lot of people want to know what the will of God is, but when they know what it is, they don't want to do it. And so what good is it to know it if you don't want to follow it? Amen? I was listening to the story about Moses and the children of Israel today, and the story where they didn't have any water, and God told Moses to speak to the rock and that the water would come out. And Moses was mad at the children of Israel, so he took the stick, and instead of just speaking to the rock, he hit it twice, and it was because of that disobedience he could not go into the promised land. You might say, man, that's hard. That's cold-blooded. After all Moses went through and he can't go to the promised land, wasn't it those people's fault? Well, they had a hand in it. But just like God told Adam and Eve, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or you're going to die. So now when they ate it, then was it, and then they died, was it God's fault or was it their fault? And God said to Moses, because you didn't honor me in the presence of the children of Israel, you're not going into the promised land. Because he didn't follow the will of God in that situation. Moses was faithful. He followed God on every other thing, but not that one thing. And it was, he didn't follow the word that he was given. And that's what we have to do. We have to follow the word that God gives us to follow. And that word is the Bible. Amen? So we have to let the Bible change us, change the way we think about stuff, change our opinions about things. We've got a whole bunch of opinions about stuff that is wrong. We believe there's so many things that we believe that are wrong, it's not even funny. You talk to some people that are Christians and you get their opinions about certain things and you ask yourself, how in the world do they get that from the scriptures? Well, they didn't get it from the scriptures. They made it up in their own mind. And that's what we have to do. We have to go through all the things that we think and find out those things that are contrary to the scriptures and embrace what the scriptures teach. And that's a hard process because most of us don't want to be told that we're wrong. Unfortunately, we can't just, well, I won't say this, because sometimes you could read the Bible and you can see something in the scriptures and say, oh man, I was thinking wrong about that subject. I need to stop thinking that way. But most of the time, other people will reveal your inaccurate doctrine to you. And we know we don't like other people telling us that's wrong. Man, where did you get that from? You don't want to hear that. But you have to then humble yourself and say, yep, I'm wrong. I've got to humble myself and embrace the truth. Otherwise, I'm going to be trapped in a lie. The Bible says if you believe a lie, what will happen? You'll be damned or condemned. Why? Because the Bible says the devil is a liar. So if you believe a lie, you believe who? The devil. He's the one that created the lie, so you follow him when you believe lies. So that's how you're condemned, because you're going along with him. So we have to learn to believe the truth, and the truth is revealed in the Bible. And then last week we talked about prayer and how we need to learn how to pray, first of all, for our own needs. But it doesn't stop there. We start to pray for the needs of others. Pray for the lives of others. Pray that people's lives will be changed. Those people that make us the maddest need our prayers the most. The people we don't agree with the most, we need to pray for the most. Because we need to learn how to pray for those that don't like us and to pray for those that we don't like. Amen? So we have to pray for people. And, you know, the three things, and then we'll get into this week's message. We talked about that should encompass or involve everybody's, what's commonly referred to as daily devotions, which just means that you devote your time daily to these things, is praying, reading the Bible, and then obeying the things that you read. These are the things that we need to do, every one of us need to do. Amen? We didn't really touch on talking and listening to God, so I'm going to go to that. So let's pray, and then we'll get into that subject. So, Father, we thank you, first of all, for giving us the desire to want to be discipled by you. Your word declares that who you love, you discipline or disciple. And so, Lord, we pray that you would show us that you love us by teaching us your ways. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray for you to give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So last, we also talked about praying in tongues and how tongues is an important part of our prayer life. Tongues is praying in a language that you have not learned. Tongues is praying, commonly referred to as praying in the spirit, because your mind doesn't understand what you're saying. So your spirit is praying for you, but your spirit talks to or teaches your mind what it is praying about so that your mind can agree with your spirit. Amen. And this is a lot of times people don't explain tongues. We've been praying in tongues. People have been hukaba and shananani for years and years and have no idea why they're praying in tongues or making or speaking in tongues. And there's also a distinction between speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. Paul, you know, always you always hear people say, well, you're not supposed to speak in tongues in the church unless it's interpreted. How many have heard that before? Well, speaking in tongues is when you give a message in tongues. Now, a lot of people that have not been around Pentecostal churches or been in charismatic churches have never even heard a message in tongues before. And I've heard, you know, when I grew up at Rainier Temple and other Pentecostal charismatic type churches, and there were messages in tongues all the time. And people would speak in tongues and then they would interpret the message. Now, interpret is not the same as translation. It's a summary of what is said in the spirit. And so what happens is somebody will give a message in tongues, and that you can tell because the message is loud so that everybody can hear both the tongues part and the natural words part. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says, if you're going to speak in tongues, have someone interpret. But he's not talking about praying in tongues in the church, because he says, if you're going to pray, when you pray to God. So you can pray to tongues in tongues all the time because you're not talking to people, you're talking to God. So it doesn't matter. Now, it wouldn't make sense for me to always be praying in tongues when the message is going on, because that becomes disruptive unless you can pray in the tongue under your breath, which you can do. But Paul makes a distinction between praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. Amen? And if you go through that 14th chapter, you can see it all the time. He says praying, then he says speaking. Then he says praying, then he says speaking. So we need to learn, we need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that helps and strengthens our prayer life. The Bible says in Jude that it builds up our holy faith, our most holy faith, when we pray in the Spirit. That means that it builds faith in us. It gives us a jump start, if you will, in the faith area or arena. But the next thing I want to talk about is listening to God, talking to God, and listening to God. A lot of people, we all talk to God. Hopefully we talk to God. But sometimes we don't know how to listen to God. Now, God does speak, right? Everybody knows that God speaks. Well, some people may not know, since this goes across the airwaves. But God does speak, and God speaks primarily in three ways. God speaks, of course, by His Spirit to our hearts. All right? That means that God will say something to you and it's inside of you, because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. So He speaks to you on the inside. Then He speaks through His Word to us. And it's very important that whatever you hear or think you hear God saying that is not from the Word has to be consistent with the Word. Okay? Are you with me here? So in other words, you can't get messages that contradict what the scriptures say, because then that's not God, that's some other spirit. For example, and the Bible talks about this specifically, you have to try the spirits to see that they're from God. One of the things that the Bible says, that any spirit that denies that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah or the Savior is not from God. So if you get a message, and, you know, we've heard many, many people, many of them started out as Christians, and then they get these revelations, and they become the spokesman for God above all anybody else. And so nobody else can speak but them. That's when you know you haven't heard from God, because God does not work like that. God doesn't shut you off from the body and tell you that go off into some corner of the earth and be your own God to the group of people, or the God to the people that you have. That's not God. Amen? God doesn't do that kind of thing. God doesn't tell you to do things that violate the scriptures. So in other words, God is not going to tell you that somebody is supposed to be your spouse and you're married and they're married. God's not going to tell you that. God is not going to tell you to go sell drugs so you can get money to pay your bills. He's not going to tell you to do stuff like that. And you might say, well, that's obvious. Well, sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder, because people get some strange revelations from God and they're not from God. I remember somebody, I was preaching at a men's conference one day, and a guy came up to me and he said he had a word from God. And, you know, you always get leery when they want to give you a word, because, you know, you preach a message and they feel that God has spoken to them. So then in turn, sometimes the enemy wants to kind of throw you off and come and give you a word. So I said, well, so I said, let's pray, brother. And so we're praying, and he gave me a word, and he was talking about me having a drug habit. And I says, brother, you were right until you got there. I said, I've never used drugs. I've never been high. That's not me. And he says, well, I said, no. I said, just stop right there. That's not me. Okay? So the first part, what you said, was okay, but the second part was not God, because that's not my problem. And so I had to correct him right away, because I don't want him to go away thinking that he had a word from God when it wasn't, at least if it wasn't for me. And we have to be willing and do it in a sweet, nice way, but help people to understand, because we all sometimes miss what God says, especially when we're first learning to hear from God. So we have to also be willing to be corrected when we don't hear from God correctly. But we also have to help people and let them know, no, that's not God, not at least not in my situation. And it's best, instead of saying God said, well, say, oh, I believe that God is telling me this, but I'm not sure, and ask them to confirm what you believe God is saying to you, and then you can take it the next step. But in order to hear God, he speaks to our hearts, he speaks to the word, and then, of course, he speaks to us through other people. And, of course, he speaks audibly, where everybody can hear. I mean, there's many examples in the Bible where God spoke from the mountain. When Jesus was on the mountain, he spoke. When Jesus was baptized, he spoke on the day when the Ten Commandments were given. So God can speak audibly where everybody hears, but most of the time God speaks to our hearts so that only we hear. Amen? But then we have to measure that by the Word of God. So let me just take us to a couple of passages that help us to understand or listen to God. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and then we're going to go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And I want us to concentrate on the last phrase in the verse 8, and it says, meditate on these things. Meditation, and I'm not talking about the meditation of Eastern religions. I'm talking about meditating on the Word of God is the way in which we can hear from God. Amen? If you meditate on the word, God will speak to you and give you an understanding of what the word is saying to you. Now, how do you meditate on the word? Well, you pray it. You talk to God about it. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. And this is a famous passage most of us have memorized and read many, many, many times. And it says here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall what? Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So he commanded Joshua to meditate on the law of Moses, or the first five books of the Bible. Well, think about it. If you meditated on the book of Genesis, the third chapter, you could understand how the devil comes to try and deceive people. You can look at that third chapter and see how he tricked Eve and deceived Eve into believing that she was going to do the right thing by disobeying God. And so with Adam, same thing. He believed that something good was going to happen with. So then we can see that he uses things that are not necessarily evil to trick us to do something that's contrary to the will of God. See, many of the sins that people commit, unless they're like stealing, killing, those kinds of sins, but sex is not in and of itself evil, but the context makes it so. Am I right? The Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers will be judged. That means that the only context for sexual relationships is a marriage relationship. Amen? So if the enemy tempts you to want to have sex with somebody that's not your spouse, he's taking something that's not evil and making it evil because it's out of its biblical or its God-ordained context. Amen? So we see that the devil always tries to use things and twist them so that they seem better than they are, when in actuality, in the end, they're never what he says they're going to be. But meditating on the word of God, you can see the things and how Satan works. You can see how God deals with his people, how God promised to do things and how he carries out his promise. And that builds faith in you, because the Bible says God is not a respecter of person. So if he promised to Abraham a son, and he gave him a child, then whatever he promised to you, he's going to do also. Amen? You look at Abraham, and he received the promise at 75. It took him 25 years to get it. And that also shows us that if we're patient, everybody say patient. Say it loud. Because we don't like that word. We don't like to be patient. We don't like to wait. You know, I remember when I was coming out of law school and waiting for the bar results. And then actually, I think I found out that I didn't pass the first time. And so I was telling God, like he didn't know, God, I got to go get a job. I got to, support my family. I got to make a living. And you know what God said? He said, wait. I said, I don't think you heard what I said. I said, we got our mortgages behind. I got to pay. We got bills. I got two kids. We only had two at that time, Michael and Marquise. I said, Lord, we need money. And he just kept saying, wait, trust me. And finally, I remember giving up. I said, all right, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. Because we're always taught that we have to make a living in order to provide for our family, which is true. I mean, I don't think God goes outside. We still have to work. But God can override our ability to do something with his ability to do something. Amen. So he told me to wait and trust him. And, you know, long story short, you know, he brought a job opportunity to me. I got a job in about 2 or 3 months, but it was, we waited. We fasted during that time for the first time. I think we fasted, I think it was 11 days, which was the first time I'd ever fasted any time, any length, that long period of time. And we were studying the Bible and studying some more Cirillo materials and just, you know, that's all we did all day long. We took the kids to school and we studied the Bible until we went and got them again. And we just constantly immersed ourselves in the Word of God. And yes, I struggle. I can't speak for Anna, as I'm sure she had the same struggle. And I would struggle every morning. I said, Lord, I need to go look for a job. I can't sit here. And he just went every time, just trust me, Harold. Trust me. Trust me. I said, all right, Lord, I'll trust you. And he made it. We worked it out. So I learned that God can be trusted when he promised to do something. And that has carried me through the hard times of my life, because there's so many times in our life that we can only trust God. No matter what we do, it's not going to change the situation. Amen? So we have to learn to trust him. And as we meditate on the Word of God, meditate, it's like you just rehash it in your mind over and over. Looking at this, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That means you should be thinking about the Word of God. Don't be thinking about all the crazy thoughts that come into your mind. But think about the promises of God. Think about what God has given us. Think about the goodness that God has given. Think about the fact that God has called us righteous, made us righteous, not because of what we did, but because of what he did. That we're now his children, that he will do anything for us, has already done everything for us, so that he will provide for us. There's nothing he will withhold from us. Amen? But you have to get this in you. And that's why a lot of people don't trust God, because it's not in them to trust God. They haven't allowed the trust of God to saturate their being so that they know without a shadow of a doubt that they can trust God in the hard times. And that's when trust really is put to the test. Am I right? It's not when you don't have to trust God for anything. It's when you know that everything is on the line and now God has to come through. Can you trust him? And most of us trust him for a day, trust him for 2 days, trust him for a week, trust him for a month. After that, the boat's sailing. Lord, I got to go because I can't wait no longer. And just as we get into the boat, his boat shows up and we missed him. But if we just trust, if we hang on, he'll make a way. Amen? So we have to learn to listen to God, hear his voice, learn to know what he's saying to us, what we're supposed to do. Well, the first thing we're supposed to do when it comes to God is to obey him, do the things that we know are right to do. Pray, study, trust him, believe in him, do the things, share the good news with people. All the things that we know we're supposed to do. Do those things. Keep doing those things. Keep being a light to the friends around you. Keep being a blessing to those that are around you. What does that mean? The blessing means, the first blessing is to tell them about Jesus. The greatest blessing that we can ever be is to just share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody. And then the other things is natural blessings. But that all these things come when we listen to God. We hear from God. We know what God is saying into our hearts. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 2 and 3. It says, why do you spend money for what is not bread, or your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. So here he's trying to tell us, don't. He says, why spend money for what is not bread, or what wages for what does not satisfy? What he's saying is, don't do those things that are just fruitless. Don't do those things that don't bring any profit. He says, but listen to me. Listen. Everybody say, listen. I mean, you talk to your kids like all the time. You know, kids, you want to talk. You say, no, listen. Be quiet and listen. 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 Are you listening? And then you can give them instruction. But if they won't listen, you can't give them instruction. Well, God is telling that to us constantly. Harold, listen. You know, I tell people this. It says, you're not listening. Oh, yes, I am. No, then what did I just say? Yeah, I know. You weren't listening. So, and of course, Anna does that to me too. But we have to learn to listen, to be instructed, so that we can hear from God. God wants to teach us if we would just listen. We don't need to tell God what our circumstances are. Amen? Most people spend time in prayer telling God what their circumstances is. And God, you know that, you know, I got this call from this bill collector, and you know how rude he was, and you know what he said, and he said he's going to come and do, like God wasn't listening. And he just let you talk. And you don't end up getting to the point because you're talking about what happened and not what you need. Amen? That's why it doesn't matter. We don't need to tell God what is going on. He knows what's going on. Jesus said, God knows what you need before you ask him. Keep that in mind when you go in prayer. He knows what you need. That does not mean you become lazy and say, okay, Lord, you know what I need, so just do it. No, you have to articulate your need to him so that the word is out there so that God will hear your prayer and then answer your prayer. God answers specific prayers, even though he will do things that without us saying things sometimes. For the most part, we have to ask. The Bible says, knock. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. And he who seeks, finds. And him who knocks, it shall be opened. That means you have to participate in the process. You can't just say, God, you know my needs, and so I don't need to pray. Maybe that's why most people don't pray. Yeah, God knows what I need. I don't got to tell him. Yes, he knows what you need, but he also wants you to ask him. It's funny about God how he won't intervene unless you ask him to. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe, who can do anything he wants to, waits for us to ask him for help. Because obviously he could stop all the chaos in the world, but people won't ask him to. I mean, think about it. The people that are sometimes when major accidents happen, God tells some people to stay away. Actually, he tells probably everybody to stay away, but only some people hear. You know, he tells you in accidents, you know, look, pay attention. Look, watch out. He warns us, but many times we're not listening. So we need to learn to listen to God, to hear him. Amen. We got about 10 minutes, excuse me. And I don't want to get into another subject, so let's go to the last scripture and then we'll close. We'll go to Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. And we're still just talking about listening to God. These are psalms that most of us have memorized if we've spent any time in the word at all. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what does that mean? The counsel, what does it mean to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? That means to do the things that the world tells you you should do. Walking in their counsel. Because the Bible says, blessed is the one that doesn't do that. Why? Because their counsel is contrary to the will of God. So you're not going to be blessed if you follow the counsel of the enemy. Amen? So when somebody tells you stuff like, well, you know, if you want to get ahead, you know, sometimes you just got to just be ruthless and take advantage of people's mistakes and take credit for stuff you didn't do. Now, does that sound like the will of God? You know, but you know, people all the time take credit for stuff that don't belong to them. You know, you do a project and the person takes all the credit for it. That's the counsel of the ungodly. But the Bible says, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. People are scornful. Those are the people that always got complaining about stuff. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he what? He meditates day and night. He thinks about what is the will of God for my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? If I do have this job, how can I be pleasing to God in this position? The first thing, it starts with your attitude. You might say, well, what does that mean? You have to have an attitude of gratitude. I know I sound like Jesse Jackson, but it's not about the rhyme. It's about your heart condition. You have to be grateful. Be grateful. You know, we always pray, God, give me a job. God, give me a job. Then we get a job and say, I hate this job. And you may not love the circumstances and everything going on in it, but don't lose focus of what God has given you, which is he's given you provision for the time. You're not going to be at that job forever. But if you're thankful and you're grateful, even though people around you are trying to sabotage you, subvert you, cut you out, say things about you, do things, lie on you, all the things that happen at work, don't lose sight of the fact that God gave you that job and you should be grateful for what God has given you. And your attitude will rise you above all the things that people do and make you visible. And God then promotes you in the midst of all the trouble that the enemy tries to bring because of your attitude. But if you meditate on the word of God and you meditate on his way, says, Lord, what is your will? Of course you're supposed to share the gospel, and that doesn't mean you just break out and start preaching to everybody. You have to learn to be wise and wait for opportunities because God will bring you opportunities to share the gospel, even with the most ungodly. But it's more than what you say, it's what you're doing that represents God. You know, I remember there's a person, you know, during Lent, Lent? Yeah, Lent. Ash Wednesday, they take ashes and do a cross on their forehead. And I had no idea that most of these folks come in there with these Catholic this cross going into Lent. I had no idea these people were considered themselves Christians. Of course, you know, Catholics consider them Christians. I'm thinking to myself, these people have some of the worst attitudes you know. Because it's not about outward appearance, it's about inward. What is your inward response when things don't go your way? And that's the thing that God wants to get into us more than anything, is we have to have the right heart about everything. It says, no matter what we go through, he says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. What is that, Philippians 4:4 or 4:6? We have to allow, when people come against us, Lord, you got to help me to walk through this and not get upset. Now, that does not mean that you become a doormat. Because I don't get upset, but I don't let people run over me either. I said, no, you can't. No, you're not going to do that to me. No, you're not going to say that. No, you're not going to do this. I'll tell people to their face, no, you're not going to do that. And, yeah, it shocks some, but I don't have a bad attitude about it. I'm just letting you know, you're not going to do that to me. You can do that to anybody else, but you're not going to do that to me. You're not going to say that to me. You're not going to get away with that with me. And that's not an arrogant attitude. That's just the truth. But you could still not hate that person in the midst of that. It's hard, but you could do it. And we have to be. Jesus was not a pushover. People did not run over Jesus. People did not come to Jesus and say any old thing they wanted to say, except for at the end. When he was just, the reason why Jesus had to be quiet, because if he had said anything, he would have got out of it. Because he knew how to get out of stuff. That's why I say, I'm not going to say anything until they say, are you the Son of God? He said, Father, can I answer that one? And he said, yeah, I am the Son of God. And he says, not only am I the Son of God, you're going to see me coming in the clouds to know that I'm the Son of God. But after that, Jesus didn't say nothing. So we have to learn how to be wise. And the way we'll become wise is to meditate on the scriptures. Read the Proverbs and how you respond to people in the right way and in the wrong way. How you deal with people. How you deal with those that don't like you. You're supposed to be kind to those that don't like you. Amen. Pray for them. Not pray for them to be transferred to Alaska, but pray that God would change their hearts. Because most people, and as the Bible says, hurt people, or not the Bible says, the old saying goes, hurt people hurt people. So usually when people are trying to hurt you, that's because they've been hurt. And just pray that God would minister to their hurt. And maybe you might be that instrument. You might not be, because they may not receive it from you. But you have to just have your heart in a place where we can hear from God. Hearing from God is so important. It's such a big part of learning to pray, but unfortunately, it's such a large part that is excluded from prayer. Most people pray, but they don't listen to God. They don't hear from God. You know, and it seems like anytime that somebody hears from God, they think they're a prophet. They gotta give everybody a word. No, that word was for you, not for everybody. It was for you. And you out of hearing from God, you become able to give words to other people. But your first words come to you for your edification and for your exhortation and for your comfort. And then you then turn around and give words to everybody else. Amen? Our relationship is a spillover into our ministry is a spillover of our relationship with God. Amen? You guys understand what I mean by that? Our relationship with God, in our relationship, it spills over to ministry to people. Because God has given us so much, it has to come out for other people. And that's how we minister. That's how we care for people. That's how we get our hearts right, because we recognize that God has been so good to us that we want to share God with other people so that they can understand how good God can be to them. We're set free, so we want to bring freedom to those that are not free. Amen? That's what ministry is all about. Amen. All right, I'm going to close. I spent a lot of time on this, but it was just really small pieces that God said in the scriptures about listening and meditating. But meditate on the word of God. Don't meditate, you know, with the om, not that kind of meditation. But meditate, think about over and over the word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.
Thank Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.